Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Georgia Wrestling Now, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network, where we bring you the latest news and information on the local wrestling scene in and around Georgia, as well as interviews with newsmakers. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Georgia Wrestling Now.
Welcome to the final Georgia Wrestling Now of 2014. This is Jonathan Williams from WrestlingWithPopCulture.com, joined as always by marvelous Marco Polo. How are you tonight, Mr. Polo?
What up? How are you doing, man? Got a little cold, so sound a little hoarse tonight. That's for a reason.
Well, I was there just a couple weeks ago, so I know how you feel.
Yeah.
Did you do any wrestling this weekend?
No wrestling. I went up and watched Anarchy. That was my first time ever at one of the shows. It's pretty cool. Got to see what the locker room felt like. Actually sat out in the stands most of the show to watch from the crowd. So it was pretty cool. I was impressed by what I saw. Some good stuff, some bad stuff. You know, it was what it is. But it was a good show overall.
Cool. Well, of course, that is a big part of tonight's show. As we mentioned last week, tonight's guest is the Jagged Edge, who will be part of Southern Fried Championship Wrestling's New Year's Nightmare on January 3rd, as well as he's a big part of Anarchy, of course, and I'm guessing he will be part of their next show, which is January 24th. But as a result of the announcement that was made on Saturday at Anarchy, the new owner, Charles Ann Schultz. Charles Ann Schultz will be part of the show tonight. He, of course, is the new owner of Anarchy, as well as the owner of Southern Fried Championship Wrestling. So, pretty big way to go out.
Tonight?
What's that?
You said he's calling in tonight?
He is calling in. He's going to call in just a few minutes, and then Jagged Edge will be after that. Or knowing the Jagged Edge, he might call in during that.
Awesome. Cool.
So, not sure if Larry Goodman is planning on calling, but he, of course, reviewed Anarchy's event on Georgia Wrestling History, gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com. Plug in, I did a giveaway last week, and I forgot to mention it here on the show, but I've got another one this week, just in time for New Year's. I've got a Zenoscope calendar with artwork by Jamie Tindall. It's 2015 calendar, of course. You can go to WrestlingWithPopCulture.com to enter to win. The contest ends at the stroke of midnight on December 31st. So you can ring in the new year by winning a calendar for the new year.
I can't win that, can I? I'm part of the show.
Sure. Why not?
All right. I'm in there again. I'm on the calendar. I like Jamie Tindall. He's pretty cool, too. All right. Last show of the year. What has happened this year as far as wrestling goes? We lost a lot of people this year as far as wrestling deaths. We lost Ox Baker, Ultimate Warrior, the biggest one, and a few others. Oh, and Sean Tombaugh. What's his last name?
Stasiak?
Yeah, no, not Stasiak. The guy who he killed himself. What was his last name? Sean O'Hare. That was him.
That's right. Sorry, I got them mixed up.
Yeah. So, as far as like wrestling deaths, I want to acknowledge those guys. A couple of celebrity deaths, like Robin Williams, you know, a few others, and the career death of Bill Cosby. Goodness, you can't even mention Bill Cosby without that other shit coming up.
Well, thankfully, we did not see the end of Anarchy. Were there any local promotions that ceased to exist this year? I'm trying to think. I don't think so.
Local promotions that did what?
That came to an end, that stopped running shows.
What can I know of?
Well, that's a good sign, right?
A few shows they should probably need to stop, but none of them did.
So while most people were at, well, I can't say that actually. While many people were at Anarchy, there were more than 300 people in attendance at Peach State Wrestling Alliance's Christmas Chaos the same night, and I was there. It was a good show. I guess the biggest news coming out of that, Tyson Dean is now both the PWA Heritage Champion as well as the NWA Georgia Heavyweight Champion, having defeated by some nefarious ways, he defeated Johnny Swinger in the cage. Actually, that was a confusing match. It was supposed to be, I think, a 60-minute time limit, and then at about 20 minutes in, for some reason, the referee decided that both men were down, and he decided whichever man made it to his feet first would be the winner. So Tyson Dean made it to his feet first because of his manager keeping Johnny Swinger from making it to his feet. Simon Sermon defeated Tommy Too Much and then announced that he would be taking some time away from Peach State.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to remember what else happened. The tag team champions there, Trevor Aeon and Shane Marks, retained their titles.
Who did they beat?
Kyle Matthews and Dusty McWilliams.
Oh, awesome.
And I would definitely like to see Trevor Aeon and Kyle Matthews in a singles match at some point.
Yeah, I'll watch that.
Not sure what other shows ran over the weekend, but I know those were the two big ones.
Yeah, those were the two big ones. I think the Big Wood run any shows, any Empire shows, or the SCW?
Yeah, I believe he also had a show on Saturday night, but I have not heard.
Huh?
He had a show Saturday night, but I have not heard anything about it.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
Well, let's call in and tell us about
DSCW.
What?
No, I was putting a shout out that if anybody wants to call in and tell us about what happened at DSCW, I'll listen. I want to know.
I'm curious as well. They have a show on New Year's Eve, Deep Southern Championship Wrestling. So I guess that'll probably be the final show of the year.
Too. Yeah, I want to hear about that show. Guys, call in and tell us.
What?
They had a Christmas Day show, too. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I guess what do you know about Charles Anschultz?
It's pretty cool. I met him at Southern Fried a couple of times, you know. What I did like was he always took care of Payday before I got in the ring. That was always a nice thing, you know, especially from an indie wrestler where it's usually like handshakes and hot dogs. So hey, before I even walk in, you know, I thought that was pretty standing up with him. So, or wait around to the end of the show, you know, hoping the door bar had enough money. So didn't have to deal with that with Charles. It's just stand up, straight business. So always appreciated that.
Well, he definitely has a good reputation when it comes to that kind of stuff, from what I hear.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight no chaser. I appreciate that. Even if I go and work for Anarchy, you know, go back and do a couple more shows at Southern Fried, I'd be you know, that's a good guy to work for and to save choice.
Did you get your ballot? I guess we should mention that as well for the Georgia Wrestling History Awards.
Yeah, I haven't put my notes in yet. I was waiting to see how the Anarchy show was going to measure up to the other ones that was on there to see if I could put it in as a write-in, but I wouldn't. To be honest, it was good, but to trump the other shows, I wouldn't say it was that good.
Well, for those who are voting, I believe the deadline is January 3rd. Cast your votes for the Georgia Wrestling History Awards. And this year, they're are multiple choices or nominees, unlike in previous years, which I kind of like.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So, you already sent in your votes?
I haven't yet, because I was doing the same thing. I figured I'd wait until the Peach State show to see not only if I would write it in as the event of the year, best live event, I should say, but also just to see the people in action, to see if it might sway my opinions for any of the other categories. So
yeah.
I will send those in this week.
Cool. Yeah, very much so.
All right. Well, I think we have been joined by Charles Ann Schultz, the new owner of Anarchy Wrestling and the owner of Southern Fried Championship Wrestling. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm just fine, sir. How are you doing?
Doing okay. You're on with Jonathan and Marco. Marco's
yeah,
a little
under. You couldn't find anybody else to talk to me tonight besides Marco?
Well, I figured Larry Goodman would call in. He usually does, but...
What's wrong with me, Charles? Don't be talking about me, man. I just put you on the
Marco, you know I love you, Marco.
Put you on the
How you guys doing tonight?
We're doing all right.
What do you guys want? Yeah, Jonathan, what do you want to talk to me about tonight?
Well, what do you think I want to talk to you about?
Maybe the show we're running up in Royston in a couple of weeks. I don't know. It might have been maybe something to do with last Saturday night. I don't think there was a little announcement made up in Cornelia that for some reason I can't get my phone charged back up because it's been blowing up for 2 days.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good place to start. I saw your Facebook post about it, but, you know, still there's a lot of questions about what's going to be different at Anarchy, if anything. What do you have planned? How are things going to be for you running two different promotions? You know, what's your plan for everything?
All right. Well, we'll discuss a little. I haven't had a chance to talk with the entire roster in Monroe yet, so I will limit what I say about what's going on there until I have an opportunity to speak with them, because I don't need them to hear what's going on there. On their, you know, here, obviously. I want
right.
them to hear it from me. Anarchy basically will not change. When Franklin and I pretty much came to an agreement that I would be buying the company, my first phone call was to Bill Behrens to make sure that I was able to persuade Bill to stay on, which as the great salesman that I am, I was able to do that. We had about an hour and a half conversation over the phone and found out that we had a lot in common, and I guess he liked what I had to say and what I wanted to do, and Bill has decided to stay on as long as Bill wants to stay on. Anarchy for me is a learning opportunity to go up there and learn from some of the best people in the business, and that's what I'm doing. I don't foresee many changes. My job going in, as I explained to Bill, is I'm a promoter. It's my job to put asses in the seats. It's Bill's job to keep them there when I get them there. And that's what we're doing moving forward. Bill and Todd will be staying in place as the booking team. Nothing changes there. Television's not going away. Everything's going to be business as usual, as I stated on Saturday night.
All right. And then you have, of course, SFCW this Saturday.
Which I'm extremely excited about. I like to tell everybody, we just closed out this past Saturday night in Cornelia with one of the biggest shows of the year. And we're going to start off this week. We'll start 2015, blowing it up in Monroe. You know, we've got Frankie Chiazzo and the Circle of Disrespect guys are coming up. We're very excited about that, a six-man match there. One of my combatants in that match is actually, due to some injuries, is having to step away, T.A. Stanton. So I'm in the process of trying to find an applicable replacement there right now, and luckily, being the fact that I own two companies, it won't be very hard to find somebody to step in and take that match. I just have to decide which way I want to go with it, but we've got them coming in. We've got the besties of Fighting Pandora and Josh Storm Dream Team in a street fight. And as I explained to them, street fights in Monroe, Georgia are a little different than they are other places. There will be some serious ass kicked in that match, I can believe you me. And what I'm really excited about, and I made no secret about it, you know, I'm very high on a young man named Chip Day. I think he's one of the best workers, not only in Georgia and Southeast. He's been in with us a few times. He's coming in. Him and Drew Adler will get together Saturday night in what I expect to be a tremendous matchup. And we've got Johnny Swinger coming in. He's working Nigel Sherrod. We've got so many things going on. We've got guys from the Moonshiners coming in. Terry Lawler's coming in. He's going to do a 20-year-old battle with Mad Dog Joe. There's going to be maybe TV cameras in the building. I'm not sure what all's going on with that. But we're expecting a grand old time Saturday night.
Yeah, I think the Chip Day Drew Adler match is one a lot of people are talking about. I'm definitely looking forward to that too.
Yes, when I put that card together, I looked at what everything that I had, and I was like, "Yeah, I got to make this happen." You know, they're two guys who I think very highly of. I follow not only my shows, I follow everything that goes on in Georgia. I know, you know, who can go and who can't. And both of those guys are very good, and I would like nothing more than having them full-time in Monroe, Georgia. Drew's been with us four or five shows in a row now, and if I have anything to do with it, I'd love to have Chip on a regular basis as well.
Very cool, very cool. I worked both of those guys multiple times, and, yeah, that'll be a good match. I don't think I've ever seen them go at it against each other. I may have to come down and check that out myself.
Well, I know you. I don't know if you're occupied Saturday night or not. I know our good friends over Porterdale are running Saturday night. And if you need to know anything about me, I'm about wrestling in Georgia. I'm about everybody being successful. You don't see me go on and blast other groups or whatever. If I wasn't running a show Saturday night, I'd be in Porterdale myself watching Shane Marks and Jeter. I like to see everybody be successful. That's what it's all about. I promote wrestling in Georgia, and I promote Georgia as a whole, and I want to see it be successful. And we will have a show that I think will rival anything that anybody's got around in the Southeast this Saturday night. Yeah. And I mean, I can't wait. I wish we were there right now.
Yeah, me too. I want to see that. Like I said, I've never seen those guys go at it against each other. I've been on shows with them and against them. So, yeah, to see them both go at it, you know, right now where they're both at the top of the game, it'd be a great sight to see. So, yeah.
Yes, it would. It surely would. And, Marco, if I remember right, I think you were in the house in Cornelius Saturday night. It seemed like I ran into a good-looking young black guy that strongly resembled you.
Yeah, I was there. I was there just watching, just seeing what was
going on.
It was
a grand old
time. Transpire.
Yeah,
I got a question.
I never thought I'd be in a ring with Franklin Dove and Steve Platinum, Jerry Palmer, and myself at one time. So, at least I was the
and
best
AJ Styles
guy.
And
yes, and Mike Posey, who I think coroner has officially said that Mike Posey is dead. They declared his body. They've done an autopsy, and after Saturday night, I'm just kidding, obviously. But Mike was a great team player, and he took several beatings on Saturday night, and it was very fun to watch.
Yeah, and don't forget the Elite himself, Jeff G. Bailey, was also in that ring with y'all.
Jeff G. was in the ring, and he spit in Franklin's face two or three times. He didn't quite make it to me. I stayed about 10 feet back. I was wanting the Shawn Michaels visor with the windshield wipers because Jeff was spitting all over all of them. But let me tell you, I'm a comedian and I try to make everybody laugh. On a serious note, I got to spend about an hour with Jeff Saturday night in the Elite locker room, telling him how much I hated him and how much he hated me. I absorbed as much in that 1 hour with him probably as I have since I've been doing this, and that's what I'm up there for. Let's stress that once again. I'm an anarchist to learn, to become a better promoter, a better owner, and that's what I want to do moving forward. And let me throw it out there because I'm going to get off the phone with you guys because I know you got Jagged coming up, who I think the world of, although he's an asshole. I do think the world of him, and you guys need to be talking to the performers. Southern Fried and Anarchy are two different companies. That's not changing. You're not going to see people from Southern Fried going up to run things at Anarchy or vice versa. Are there some interesting thoughts that I have in crossing some talent over here? Now, well, hell yeah, that's one of the appeals of doing it. But more than that, it's all about Anarchy appeals to one type of crowd. Monroe and Southern Fried appeal to a different type of crowd. And we're going to continue to do it that way because both groups are successful in their own way.
Yeah. How bad were you wanting to tell people that you
I really had some fun. The deal, and I won't go into a lot of talk because the conversations Franklin and I, and I'm going to throw it out there now, Franklin was amazing through this process. I got to know him really well. And it went good. I pretty much knew last Saturday night, previously at our last show in Monroe. The only holdup at that point was I did not have the sign leased to the building in my hand, which was, the next day was a done deal Sunday week ago. Yes, I wanted to tell people, but, and the part of the appeal, and I had people blowing my phone up, hitting me up. Hey, you know, including your old host there, Mr. Wheeler. Him and I had some conversations, and of course, I had fun telling him that every other person who's involved in wrestling in the state of Georgia was buying the company except me. and it was, you know, good natured ribbon going back and forth there with that, and several other people. And I had somebody hit me up a couple of nights before the announcement and said, well, the word going around Cornelius, a guy from Eatonton's buying it. And I said, well, Chris Nelms is the only guy I know that's wrestling out of Eatonton. So, damn it, Chris Nelms must be buying it. Now, you know, I don't know. but I had a lot of fun with it, and I was so nervous, guys. I want to get this out, and then, like I said, I'll get out of you guys' hair. Standing and waiting to go out in front of that crowd, I was so nervous. And if you know anything about me, if you're listening to me right now, I can talk all day long. That's not an issue. What I didn't want was to be like the Shockmaster, you know, Uncle Fred, and fall down the ramp and go rolling out into the arena or get into the ring and trip over the damn rope and look like a jackass in front of 180 people and whoever watches it on TV. And I was like, so when I finally got to the ring, then it was all okay then. But I was like, man, just don't go rolling down the damn ramp. Because that looks bad enough for anybody, especially a big man like myself.
Yeah. I think I would have laughed too hard right there. I wouldn't even be able to talk to you and tell what happened.
But I'm looking forward to doing a lot of great things with it. I'm honored to be able to be chosen because I was chosen. There were several viable candidates who offered to buy the company that I won't discuss due to privacy issues there. Franklin chose me, and I take that as tremendous honor. And I plan to carry on the tradition that's been set there. When I started almost 2 years ago, I didn't want to become the WWE or TNA or Ring of Honor. But when I first started, I said, you know, I want to be as good one day as Anarchy. Now I have an opportunity to do that.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. All right.
And there's so many opportunities moving forward, and I'm just honored to be there. And I want to invite everybody out, you know, come to the shows. If you're not going to see us, go watch somebody somewhere. There's great wrestling all over Georgia.
Hey, how you doing?
A couple of things before we let you go. You mentioned that you were chosen. Do you know what went into that decision and how you were chosen?
You know, I think, and I would be assuming, the conversations I had with Franklin, I think he felt more comfortable with maybe with me moving forward and maintaining the company as it was. I can tell you that I was there the first time I'd been to an Anarchy show, first time I'd been to a collegiate wrestling show since 1999 or 2000. I was there the night he made the announcement that he was selling the company. I had no earthly idea, was shocked as anybody when I'm sitting in the crowd and he made the announcement that night. Obviously, the wrestling person I am, the light went off for me right then, and I had a conversation with him before I left the building that night to let him know that I was interested. We had discussions at that point. That was a month basically before it happened. I can tell you right now, I'm 47 now, episodes backwards, watching Anarchy Television. I did that not knowing if I was going to get the company or not, but I said I wanted to do that to be prepared in case I did get the company. So I have a good history of what's went on there in the last year, year and a half, because I went back and watched television programs. And I think that impressed him because he knew I was serious about wanting to. And I've seen Franklin for several years at the NWA Fan Fest in Charlotte. Franklin knows I'm a history buff of wrestling. He knows I support wrestling. He knows that I want to see wrestling do well. And I just, bottom line, think he felt more comfortable with me moving forward than he did some of the other offers that he had. And you know, I that would be my guess. I don't know. All I know is I bought it. And I do have a partner who wants to remain silent in the venture with me, just to help me from a logistics standpoint, for just, you know, because I can't be everywhere all the time. And that's why I've done that. And he doesn't want to be known, so I'll honor his wishes at this time. But I'm excited, guys. I'm really excited.
I think your Facebook post said it was not one of the people that was in the ring with you at Anarchy, right?
No, you know, I don't want people. It's nobody that nobody would expect. It's a great guy, a person who I trust tremendously, or I wouldn't be doing it. We will make an announcement at the next Anarchy show with the guys in the locker room, so they know, you know, they know who's, if I'm not there, you know, Bill's running the show, obviously, but when I'm not there, then my partner will be there to oversee things, and just so they know. And I'm sure eventually it will leak out, because God forbid, I know guys in wrestling locker rooms talk, but you know, it'll come out, I'm sure. But at this point, he wants to remain anonymous. That's fine by me. So, but it's an exciting opportunity. It's an honor. I can tell you, like I said, the last 2 days, my phone has been blowing. I think from Saturday night until this morning, probably 80, 85 new friend requests, close to 100 text messages. And so, you know, it creates a lot of opportunities for us moving forward with both companies, and both companies will continue to run as is.
All right. And one more thing, you mentioned it at the beginning of your call, your show in Royston that's coming up. When is that, and where, and what's going on with that?
Okay, we're at the Gray Bell Auction Inn. That will be on January the 17th. Nigel Sherrod actually gets his rematch against AJ Steele that night. I'm shocked he wants it, because he's going to get killed again. but that'll headline up there. And we're excited about going up there. That was an opportunity that was presented to me. I wasn't looking to go there. I was offered the opportunity to go there. I think they'd had a show going on there in the past. It kind of dwindled down, and they wanted somebody to come in and do something, and I was glad to do it. And we'll see how it goes. You know, I'm not expecting a Monroe, Georgia crowd, obviously, but I think we will, you know, maybe we'll do good there and see how it goes moving forward. But I am excited about doing that, and I'm excited about getting our name out in that area as well. And I also want to say before I get off, congratulations to all the new champions in Anarchy, because everybody, every title changed hands Saturday night. If you read the reports of you there, you know that. And all are very deserving champions. So congrats to all those guys moving forward.
All right. And the show in Royston, are you working with Alternative Pro Wrestling, or is it, are they okay with it, or do you know?
You know, when that offer came to me and I agreed to do it, my first call was to Jeremy at APW and to let him know first off. I didn't want him to hear about it on Facebook or see a poster up somewhere. And, you know, we had a discussion, and we come to a couple of agreements on some things that I won't discuss. That's between him and I. But we seem to be okay. There shouldn't be any issues. And actually, Jeremy, to be quite honest, even offered to rent me his building to use on Saturday nights if I wanted to use it. And, you know, if Jeremy would have jumped up and down and said, hey, man, I don't want you to do it, I don't like it, I would have pulled out and I would not have done it, because that's the way I try to do business.
All right. Well, we got Larry Goodman with us now. I don't know if he had questions for you or if he was coming to talk to Jagged Edge.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be coming to talk to Jagged Edge, but I just want to say, yeah, congratulations to getting off to a great start and a great finish for Franklin on Saturday night, and I am very much looking forward to what will be coming down the pike with you, Charles, both at Southern Fried and at Anarchy.
Well, you know, Larry, we've had some basic conversations the last few weeks, and I was glad that you finally got to come out to Monroe, and I thought you wrote a great piece. I thought the things that you said positively were positive, some negative things there. You were right on point. I have no problem with that. You always tell it like it is. And I'm excited. You know, we've tried to upgrade our talent level in Monroe. We're in the process of doing that. And obviously, having the keys to the building in Cornelia now will only help me if I need to bring talent down to bolster that as well. I'm excited about what we're doing at both places. We're going to take a show off in Cornelia. We're not going to come back until the end of the month, the fourth Saturday, just to, you know, reset some things and get everything rolling. But it's business as usual. And, you know, I put it out there, my goal is to have the top two promotions in the state of Georgia next year.
All right. Well, I know you had a lot of people, like you said, texting you, calling you. So I appreciate you taking time to give us a call and let us know what's going on. And, you know, if you ever want to let us know any more about what's going on with your promotion, just, you know.
Sounds good, guys. And I thank you for all you guys do promoting wrestling and having the show. And give Jagged hell for me, please.
Thanks a lot.
All right, bye-bye, guys.
Well, I guess Jagged Edge is probably waiting to come on the line. Before that
loser gets on the phone, gets on the line here, just to, have you talked to any about Peach State or Global at all at the start of the show? I'm sorry, I was not available to come on at the beginning.
We have not talked about Global Force.
No, the Global show in Alabama. I just wanted to hit on a couple. We had some impressive attendance numbers over the weekend. Global with Micah Taylor and AJ Steele on top, and Spiral and Mike Cruz in a ladder match. They drew over 450 in Pell City, and the Peach State show with the final finale between Simon Sermon and Tommy Too Much. They drew 360. So some real healthy attendance, which is really good to see.
Very cool.
See them doing so well. I didn't think Anarchy would affect them really because they're so far apart. Going on with Anarchy, it might draw some people up there, but apparently it didn't, and they did very well. Was it good?
Hello? I'm getting some technical difficulties here. Hello?
Okay.
welcome to the show as an official guest, the Jagged Edge.
Good afternoon, good evening. How's everybody doing?
Well, it sounds like you somehow disrupted the whole show. We're having some technical difficulties just as we're bringing you on.
Well, I figured it had something to do with Larry Goodman, because as soon as he got on board and said the Jagged Edge's name, I got disconnected from the line. But I did hear the news that the Bears were talking to Goodman about coming in as the GM. So congratulations to that.
I'm not sure if Larry's still on the line. It looks like he is, but I don't hear him.
Yeah. Larry, if you're still on, you may have to hang up and call back. That's what I had to do. He's probably screaming into the phone.
Anyway, Jagged, I'm sure you heard our previous guest. He didn't have a whole lot to say about you. And then what he did have to say wasn't very nice. But
well, let me tell you what the problem is with Mr. Charles. Mr. Charles got his panties in a bunch because he never thought the Jagged Edge would end up being the number one contender for the Southern Fried Heavyweight Championship, which is a threat to AJ Steele. But see, I also heard through the grapevine today that now they got this big problem with their six-man team. That instead of it being a six-man tag team match, it's going to be a five-man tag team match because old Jagged done put T.A. Stanton out of wrestling. But now, Mr. Charles, being the businessman that I am, and this is to you and to that old dirty dog A.J. Steele, Jagged will come in and help you out since you're in the pickle. Now, simply, and the only reason Jagged Edge is doing this, see, this is simply about business. This is business. Southern Fried Championship Wrestling in the state of Georgia. We represent the state of Georgia. We will not allow anybody from outside the state of Georgia to come in and do anything to us. So now we're going to do you, AJ Steele, Logan Creed, Jagged Edge, put together a team that'll do that, do something that no other team in the state of Georgia was able to do this year. Not the Georgia Bulldogs, not the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. We're going to get rid of a team from Florida. We're going to beat a team down from Florida. So, Mr. Charles, AJ Steele, Logan Creed, if you're listening, Jagged Edge is extending his olive branch at this particular moment that Saturday night I join you guys with the only purpose is to get rid of the team from Florida.
Well, if he was still on the line, he would be able to respond to that, but are you scheduled for?
Oh, you can bet he's listening. Oh, Charles not going anywhere. He's listening. AJ Steele's listening. And he's going to get back to Logan Creed that the Jagged Edge is extending his hand, the olive branch, to put all three of us together. Let's get rid of this team from Florida, because at the end of the day, AJ Steele, this is about me and you. You and I. Mano to Monostat. Me and you. So now let's just do this, get it over with, and let's take care of our business.
I take it that means, are you scheduled for a match at all Saturday?
I'm scheduled for a match, but see, Jagged Edge is truly, as Ric Flair used to say, a 60-minute man. I can do 3, 4, 5 matches. See, that's something AJ can't do. He's one shot and done. Jagged can go all night. So Tetchy and I take care of the Cowboy Wasey. When we get through with the Cowboy Way, they won't know if they're on foot or horseback. So we know what we can do. After we take care of Cowboy Way, Jagged will go get him a shot of Gatorade and be ready to get rid of this Florida team, and so that AJ Steele and the Jagged Edge can do it one-on-one without any help, outside interference, and we'll take care of, find out who is the champion in Southern Fried Championship Wrestling, because I claim, and have claimed it since day one, I am their champion.
All right. I like it.
Tell us about Anarchy, Jagged.
What do you want to know about Anarchy? What do you want to know? I'm still a little dizzy from Saturday night, but I'm trying to get my bearings about myself right now. I'm stumbling around as I'm talking to you. But what do you want to know about Anarchy? They found Team Anarchy found a way to get squeezed one past Team Elite. But that's okay. That's okay. Well, we do what we do best. We go back and we regroup and we come back again, start it all over again. And Michael Judas, Sean Tempers, and that low-down Ace Rockwell, I don't know where he came from, but he done slid in the back door some kind of way. He's just put himself in the line of fire, and I don't think he wants to be in the line of fire. Sean Tempers knows where his is coming from. He put his hands on Jeff G. Bailey. Michael Judas and I, that's one thing that I have not gotten, is Michael Judas in the ring one-on-one. he gets the advantage over Jagged Edge because I'm fighting three or four people at a time before Judas gets in. But Ace Rockwell, you just put yourself in the line of fire, and it's not what you want. You ain't about this life. It's not what you want. You ain't been around for a while, but now you come back and you just want to jump in. You ain't about this life, Ace Rockwell. But if you want to put yourself there, that's fine with me. I can take care of whoever I need to take care of to get to the – see, you said this was the final show of 2014. So you saved the best for last. And I understand that. I truly appreciate being the last person on the show for the year 2014 because you saved the last guest to be the best guest. And that's cool because you made your next move your best move, and that's by bringing the Jagged Edge on to Georgia Wrestling Now. I understand that. You ask me anything in the old Jagged to tell you, what do you want to know about Anarchy? That at the, by the middle of 2015, the Elite is going to hold the tag team belts, the Anarchy Heavyweight Championship. We're going to have the TV title, and we'll figure out some kind of way to put the Young Lions title on Jeff G. Bailey.
Well, tell me about Michael Judas. Wasn't he involved in the injury that put you out a couple years ago?
Yeah, oh, Michael Judas and Gunner in a match. Got hurt, tore my bicep, on the road to recovery, but that's fine. That's fine. Old Jag is built like a Ford Tough. A Ford Tough, like old Ford truck. I'm just going to I take a licking and keep on ticking. That's why he hadn't. See, that's what frustrates Anarchy, Team Anarchy, more than anything in the world. When they think they have beaten Team Elite, when they think they have put us down for the count, when they think that everybody is kissing babies and waving hands because Team Anarchy came out with a victory in a battle, they wake up tomorrow morning or the very next morning and realize they're still in a war because we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere. We're led by the best manager in the Southeast. No, you know what? I take that back. We're led by the best brain in the United States of America, Jeff G. Bailey. Jeff G. knows exactly what he's doing. And see, that was part of the game plan. And I told you that once before. If you continue to beat a person, you just constantly beat them, you beat the fight out of them. So you have to give them a little bit so you can beat them some more. And that's what we do with Team Anarchy. We give them just a little bit, just enough to make them poke their chest out so they can come back again. And then the next time they come back, we destroy them.
Well, you have a month before the next Anarchy show, of course, the first one under the new ownership. Wow. Do you know yet what you have in store for that show? Do you have anything scheduled yet, or is that still up in the air?
We haven't heard anything yet, but that's fine. That's fine. I know at the end of the day, Jeff G. would be in there trying to figure out a way to get his team in there with one of those members. If Old Jagged has to face Sean Tempers, that's fine. If we have to put seven on Ace Rockwell, that's fine. And we know Bird will take care of Michael Judas. If he wants to switch it up and put me with Judas and put Ace with Bird and put seven with Tempers, either way it goes, whoever they throw at Team Elite, Jeff G. made it plain and simple. He is the Elite. He is Elite. And to be part of us, you have to be just that. See, you don't just walk into Anarchy and become an Elite. You're chosen. Jeff G. takes his time. He scouts talent all across wherever he's looking. Whenever he's looking, he picks the best. So he knows that the people he put there are not going to walk away. I told you, and everybody knows this, he's up for Entertainer and Wrestler of the Year. He's up for the best overall wrestler. Sean Tempers was the Elite. Sean Tempers was the NWA North American Heavyweight Champion. He's been multiple-time Anarchy Champion. He's been the TV Champion. He's been tag title champions. Sean Tempers was the man. He made a mistake and put his hands on Jeff G. Bailey. I told you this a few months ago. Jeff G. Bailey did what he always does. He corrected us in love. And in instead of taking the love correction from Jeff G. Bailey, Tempers put his hands on him. We can't have that. If you're sitting at the house, Jonathan Williams, and your baby brother decides to get up and slap your daddy, what you going to do? You going to sit there and keep eating your SpaghettiOs?
I don't eat SpaghettiOs.
Or you going to sit there and keep eating your Cheerios? No, you're not. You're going to get up and beat your little brother down. That's what we had to do. It was not personal. I have nothing but respect for Sean Tempers. But when he put his hands on Jeff G. Bailey, that was the biggest mistake he could make. And not only from me, who took it personal, Seven took it personal, Bird took it personal. So what we have to do, and it doesn't matter who John Tempest gathers around him. Pete Rockwell, Michael Judas, Marco Polo, Jonathan Williams, Larry Goodman. That's who I'm hoping you get as a tag partner. Oh, Larry Goodman. Just bring Goodman in the ring with you. You got a better chance of winning. The Bears are going to do so much better with Goodman as the GM. John Tempest, Ace Rockwell, Michael Judas. It's not over. It's not over. Jeff G. Bailey told us, and I'm telling you. So I'm delivering the message that he can very well deliver himself. It's not over.
I got it. Now, Jackie, you live by that motto. Let's talk a little personal for a second. I've seen you, like you mentioned, the injury that put you out, you know, the little stint in jail put you out, but you're still going and you're still at the top of the card at, you know, at two places and any place that you go to. Tell us about what drives you and what keeps you going every single day to keep pushing as hard as you are.
What drives me on a regular basis, and this is just the truth. Now, this is the side of the jacket is that you're only going to get one time. You're going to get it this time. Don't ever ask me again. It's the fear of failure, all right? If you fear failing, then you're going to keep pushing yourself, and you're going to keep pushing yourself. And every time you fall down, my grandmama told me a long time ago, it don't matter how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get up and you dust yourself off and keep going that matters. Now, in this process of getting knocked down, don't think it's all been Jagged. There have been a lot of people behind Jagged holding Jagged up at times because there have been times when Jagged wanted to fall and just stay down. But there's an old friend of mine. I won't call no name because he don't probably want nobody to know this, but he's been the one to keep pushing old Jagged. And when I say old Jagged, I really mean old Jagged. Birthday is tomorrow. I turn 25. So old Jagged got to keep going. He got to keep going.
And that's something I appreciate about you, Jagged.
I understand, Marco Polo. I understand anytime you're talking to somebody the caliber of Jagged Edge, I get tongue-tied too.
You got me. Keep it going. All right. Now, what's next for old Jagged? So your birthday's tomorrow. How long have you been in the game? How long have you been doing this, and how long you want to keep doing this?
Now, realistically, I took a 10-year break from 2001 to 2011. All right? I started training in 1996. Now, I say this, and what I did recently, I posted some stuff up on Facebook that I had gone back and looked at on YouTube, the old Mid-South Championship Wrestling that was trying to be rebirthed back in Jackson, Mississippi at the time. When Jagged was training at the time, and I hear a lot of people that complain about paying dues, you know, why do I have to do this, what's paying dues, and to me, that's a crock of crap. When I put those posts, those little things up, and I put it at the top, this was during the time where all I could do was put a ring up, take a ring down, and go get the guy's drink. Not knowing, not remembering, I'm telling you how old Jagged is, not remembering that in one of those episodes, I was dressed up in a suit and tie as a ring announcer. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Go back and look. The ring announcer. So that was incentive to keep going. That was a reward for doing, you know, doing what you're supposed to do, and let's pay your dues. All right? So I don't know. Started in 96, stopped in 2001, came to Georgia, tried to tie on here in Georgia, got frustrated. At the time, there was only one show, and that's the show that you guys got to just finish talking about. It was Anarchy, but at the time it was Wildside. And I would come and keep up with what's going on. As a matter of fact, I had started working at Best Buy, and we were doing the travel team where we would go to different Best Buys around the country and do the reset team, the resetting of the stores. And we were in Vidalia, Georgia, and they were advertising Cornelia, Georgia. So I'm thinking, you know what? Let me see if I can get some contacts in and make a phone call for me. Because, see, back then wrestling was different than it is now. Now you can just show up at a show and get booked on it. Back then you didn't show up at somebody's show unless you were invited. And in an effort to be invited to the place, we never make contact. And old Jacket, it being the way he is, just got frustrated and decided, you know what, I'm going to leave this alone. I went and coached high school football, played some arena ball. And decided in 2011, which wasn't my decision, but my son at the time, who didn't remember when I wrestled when he was a child, two, three years old, had gotten into this Jeff Hardy phase, and he was loving Jeff Hardy. He was Jeff Hardy crazy, the room, the buying the sleeves and all that good stuff. And so he had this discussion with me about getting back in wrestling again, because he had found some old pictures and newspaper articles and the different things like that. And of course, to him, it made him the cool kid in school, because he's a slim guy, that his daddy used to be a wrestler. So he was like, why don't you try it again? Well, my first thing was, you know, Jordan, I'm a little too old to do this. And he was like, well, just try it. So what I did, and I agreed to go and try it again. And, of course, you know, Jagger told the story. I'll try to contact people. So about a month or so went by, and he came back and he asked me again, ain't nobody contacted you? I said, no. He said, nobody? No, no, truthfully, I didn't try to contact nobody. All right? I thought it just passed, okay? And that particular day, he gets on the computer. He starts looking at, I guess he put in there wrestling federations in Georgia or wrestling promotions in Georgia. However he looked it up, the one that came up was PCW. Now here's old Jagger. This is what Jagger thinks. The website didn't look like it had been kept up with. So I said, okay, you know what? This is the one we'll do. We'll do this one. And, you know, just to keep from bothering people and you wasting your time, I said, because, you know, they're not going to want to be bothered with me anyway. I emailed this one because they have a contact here. It wasn't a phone number. I emailed this one, and if they contact me, then I'll do it. If they, you know, I'll try to do it, and if they don't contact me, can we drop this? He was like, yeah. So he sits right there, right next to me as I'm emailing Steve Platinum, emailing him. Never thought Steve would reply. Never thought anybody would reply, to be totally honest. Not just Steve, because I didn't know, you know, Steven as Steven Platinum at the time. I never thought anybody would reply. And if I'm not mistaken, if Steve hear this, he'll tell you that I'm not lying. Within the next 30 minutes, not only did he reply, I got an email back and his phone number to call him and talk to him about wrestling. Steve invited me down. I came to a couple of shows. He brought me to the back. The very first guy, when Steve brought me to the back to get up off the couch, he had an old girl in his lap drinking a beer. Get up off the couch, walk to the front, introduce himself to me, was Danny Omis. And we've gone from there.
Very cool, very cool. I believe I was there, too, in the crowd.
Yeah, but you were there. You turned your back to me and just walked away the other side.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. Not, that's personal. That's personal. That wasn't business. That's personal. You turned your back and walked away from me and walked to the other side of the room when Steve brought me back there. So now, if anything, and if I give credit to anybody, if anybody gets the first blessings, as I always say, or if I call myself home, you know, given the opportunity to do it all over again, to be Jagged when I can be Jagged. Because everybody knows I'm only Jagged when I walk through the curtain. You know, to be Jagged when I'm Jagged, I have to say it's to Steve Platinum, because he gave his old man another shot at doing what he likes to do and having fun at doing it.
Very cool. Very cool. Very cool. Now tell us about the battles that you had to deal with. How hard was it coming back from one of the injuries, and then, you know, what happened with the little prison sentence?
The injuries weren't the problem. That's something that you battle anyway. I play football. I fought in the streets of Chicago. I get jumped by 6-7 people. You know, I learned a long time ago, you be patient. We don't try to get them all at one time. We take our time, boy, and we get them one at a time. That's not the problem. That's just the way I'm built. That's, you know, you push through it. If you let an injury beat you, then you didn't want to be in the fight in the first place. Now, the more testing thing that I had was this last issue that I've been going through, and I'm still going through it now, but not to the same extent. We make bad decisions in our life, and I made one. You know, I put myself in a situation to where I was accused of doing things that I didn't do. I paid a price for what I did, for what they accused me of doing that I shouldn't have paid. But just being there, knowing that I shouldn't be here, and there was nothing that I could do to get myself out of it, that was one of those battles that wasn't a physical battle. That was a mental and a spiritual battle. And when I say it that way, and I know people don't like to get into the spiritual thing, and I'm not going to get into it, but then again, I am going to get into it. That was one of those things that made me grow spiritually, because I had to realize that sometimes, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound funny, and I know we're on the wrestling show, but we are real, and we're human, and we're men. And it's sometimes you have to take time to understand when God is right there in the midst of the battle with you, because this whole thing wasn't about me as far as me personally, but it was about me getting put on the right path, because at the time I had strayed off the wrong path. So That was more testing than anything else, because that makes you have to deal with you, not Jagged Edge,
yeah.
not somebody that's the way a person sees you, but it makes you have to deal with you, the real you, and you have to come to an agreement and an understanding that there's something bigger than you, and there's something else, and this was something that I couldn't get out of myself. I was told a year before it happened, you know, boy, you better stop running from God, because one of these days he's going to put you down so low that no man going to be able to get you out, that only he going to get the glory. And not even a year later, I was in that situation for 10 months. You know, and that's 10 months of being locked up behind bars for something he didn't do, trying to figure out how to get out of here. And everything that we, and when I say we, because it was a collective group of people trying to figure out how to get around this system, because the system is kind of messed up. But I'm not. This is not a story about the system. This is a story about Jagged. And I had come to an understanding, and it gave me time to take a good look at me and a good look at the things and the opportunities that I have had that I wasn't thankful and gracious for, and to understand that everything that I get from the day that I walked out is truly a blessing, and I need to be thankful and appreciative of the people I meet, the things I do, the sunshine I see, you know, it's such a bigger thing, because 2 weeks prior to, and I'm going to say it, Matt Hankins, who used to be a host of your show, 2 weeks prior to me being told that I was going home, I had just told a family member, you know what, you know, we're going to stop right now, because I'm content where I am, because when it's time for him to move and move me from this place to somewhere else, he's going to do it. And not knowing, 2 weeks later, just out of the blue, I was told to pack my stuff and going home. I had no clue that I was going home. And when I get out there that day, because walking down the hall, I asked the guard, because, you know, at some particular point, one of the guards had come to a PCW show. And when he walked in, they were doing head count. He was like, I know you. And I was like, no, you don't. He was like, oh, yeah, I know you. Can I see my mind? I'm thinking that he's saying he know me from being a criminal, because, see, I've never been in trouble in my life. I grew up in Chicago. I grew up on the west side of Chicago. I grew up fighting, and I don't have a criminal record, right? So when, not saying that I ain't done things to have a criminal record, no, I'm just playing. I don't have a criminal record. So when he said that, that's what I was naturally thinking. So during the midst of the shift, he's on YouTube. He calls me over to the thing, to the little deputy desk, and he said, I told you I knew you. He was at the Danny Only Jagged Edge dog collar match, and he had pulled it up on YouTube. So now what was supposed to be a secret outside of the fact that the deputies knew, now everybody in the pod knew, because he was showing everybody in the pod. So when I was there, I went in jail. I was 260 pounds. And it was told by them that I was a threat to the officers. Now, mind you, I'm not a threat to anybody. But I was a threat to the officers. So if the first time they caught me working out, I couldn't work out. It was 30 days in the hole. The second time they caught me working out, it was 45 days in the hole. The third time it was 90 days and so forth and so on. So it was like all I could do was eat. And it wasn't really much eating there, because you're eating honey buns and ramen noodles. So it was just I had a lot of time to deal with, you know, Maurice. And that was what the difference was, that, you know, like I said, that fear of failing. I don't want to fail at nothing I do, you know, whether I end up at the top or wherever, you know, is you want to do your best at everything you do. And I will stay true to who I am, and that's being thankful for every opportunity I've gotten, whether it be from Steve Platinum, Bill Behrens, Rick Michaels, Big Wood, Mr. Charles, and whomever else has booked me. The young man out in Illinois, the NWA Ohio, in Marion, Ohio, that's trying to get me to come down. Every opportunity that I have, I'm thankful for, because this is not easy to do. And a lot of people do it that are not really good at it, but they do it. And they do it because they like to have fun. And I've said it 1,000 times that when you buy into what you're doing, then it's easy for the people who pay this money to see you to buy into what you're doing. But if you're half-assing at what you're being, you know, pretty much paid, whether it be a hot dog or whatever it may be. But if you're half-assing into what you're doing, then, you know, they're going to have be the same way about receiving you or booing you or getting a reaction or whatever the case may be. So, I mean, I just believe in anything you do it the right way. You do it right the first time, and you don't have to worry about it. And you're going to make mistakes. And you've heard me get on the tangent about Larry Diamond, about when he comes out and he gives his personal opinion of what he sees in the ring. And I feel the same way that if you were a football player, if I'm coaching you and I give you my personal opinion about what I think you can do to do better, what didn't look good, and you get the fussing and cussing and how much you hate me, then you can go play for somebody else. You know, because I know when I was playing football, whether it's high school, college, or the pro ball that I did play, that it was not, you weren't talking back to the coach that way. You know, and not that Goodman's a coach, but he's a fan and he's giving you his perspective. So if you can bet, he's not the only person that saw it that way. You know, and then you wonder why people don't react to you. You know, so when you start complaining and you're not putting forth your best effort at doing what it is that we're supposed to be doing, going out there and wrestling, going out there and beating each other up. And if you don't look good at beating the other person up, then maybe we need to take some time. We tape everything and throw it on YouTube. We tape all things. It's stuff on YouTube that shouldn't even be there. Look at it before you put it there. And if it don't look good to you, wait before you post that one. Go have another match, improve, then post that. You know, so that's just my tangent. But that's just me. I hope that answers your question. If you got any more, I feel free to answer.
Yeah, feel like I'm an inside actor studio. What's your favorite curse word?
I don't really have one. If you notice, old Jagged don't do a whole lot of cussing, even when I'm doing promos and it can be heated, because I grew up in an era where they did promos without cussing and they made you believe that they were really going out to beat somebody down. So I don't do the whole lot because I don't do it I don't do a lot of it in my real life. You know, every now and again, I get frustrated and let off one. But I don't do a whole lot of that. It's kids out there. And, you know, I remember as a kid going to wrestling shows, Mid-South Coliseum. Sorry, that's in Memphis. We've gone there twice. The Mississippi Coliseum on the fairgrounds. Every Wednesday night, Mid-South Championship Wrestling, when I came and spent the summers with my grandma and me and my brother and the lady that used to keep us, her name was Vivian. We used to buy ringside seats and sit right there, first, second row, and you never heard a curse word from the guys in the ring, you know. You go with them outside, they never curse, you know. They whether it was baby or heel, inside the arena, nah. They didn't too much, you know, heels didn't too much. When they were in gimmick, didn't too much do the glad handing and the shaking. But if you catch them at the fence, they never had a problem coming by, signing the autograph, shaking your hand, touching your hand, whatever the case may be. And that's the way I pattern my whole gimmick after, or my whole persona, the Jagged Edge, about, you know, if I'm in the ring, if I'm in gimmick, or if I'm wrestling, working, then I'm going to be the heel. But, you know, outside of that, I got to be me. Because I remember that's the way it was done for me, and I don't want to do it any other way. Those kids, those kids that come to the shows, we are their WWE. Yeah, they see it on TV. Some of them don't get to go. Some of them do. So we are those stars to them, you know, and we are the guys that they talk about from time to time. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting probably the sweetest dude that you ever gonna meet down at Anarchy, and his name is Dale. And from the very first time that I met him, we kind of took to each other. And I couldn't, you know, do the mean thing to him. And I'm not going to do the mean. Dale calls me on the phone. He texts me. And I like the relationship that we have, because when he gets in trouble at school, he'll call me and say, hey, Jagged, I did such, such, such. Well, Dale, why you do that? I don't know. You know, so, I mean, it's building relationships, personal relationships, too, that matter. Because sometimes, you know, just like there's been somebody there for me, Matt Hankins, you have an opportunity to be there for somebody else.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, while we're there, who was your inspiration to wrestle? I'm sure you were a fan.
I'm gonna tell you something. This is gonna be a funny story, and this is probably one that probably only Matt knows. When I was a kid, I used to come down and stay with my grandma. Now, when I grew up in Chicago, I grew up watching AWA Championship Wrestling. So, but my granddaddy lived in Indianapolis at the time. That's my mom's dad. And, I mean, I'm sorry, my father's son. And but he lived down the street from Dick the Bruiser. So my very first personal interaction with a professional wrestler outside the ring was Dick the Bruiser. They used to smoke cigars together and drink beer, you know. But that was my first personal interaction with the professional wrestler. Never went to a show in Chicago. Only could watch it on television because we couldn't afford to go. So, but when I used to come home, when I say home, meaning Mississippi, my grandmother made sure that every Wednesday night in the summertime that we went to the wrestling. So when I was a kid, I used to put on long johns because I was from Chicago, so I bring them to Mississippi. I don't know why. It was hot in Mississippi. I ain't need no long johns in the summertime. I put on my long johns, ball up my clothes and put them in my arms, and that's my muscle. And I used to wrestle her pillow. And she used to be the referee while I wrestled the pillow, okay? Sometimes I win, and I make paper belts out of the garbage can bags. You know, back then it was paper or plastic, but before paper or plastic, it was just straight paper. So I used to go and draw the belt, color it up, cut it out, and that was my championship, okay? She was a Dusty Rhodes fan, okay? Mm-hmm. So Dusty was my favorite, was my original favorite, because I kind of got into the Dusty Rhodes thing. But when Mid-South took off, of course, everybody's favorite that was Mississippi, Louisiana, was the Junkyard Dog.
Right.
You know, and so I think what did it for me as a wrestling fan was one night we were at the Coliseum, and Dog had just got beat to crap by Butch Reed. I'm sorry, beat straight to crap. Just left him laying to where we literally thought he was dead. And where we were standing on top of the we were standing on the floor, I'm up on the rail looking, I guess, crazy. Everybody in shock. And Dog pulled itself up right there in front of me and my brother. And he put one hand on my brother, one hand on my shoulder, and, you know, kind of pushed himself up. And he looked right at me and said, "I'm okay," and walked away. But not walked away, staggered away. I think that, at that moment, I think I told my brother, "I'm the Junkyard Dog." You know, and from that point, anytime we wrestle, whether it would be drawing the little line in the sand in the playground we draw the little square in the playground. I went to Catholic school, in the playground. And we go and have tag teams. My tag team partner was Jerenita Johnson. It was a girl. And we used to wrestle Emmick and Eric Thornton or Damian Parker or somebody like that. Just, you know, we know that we weren't doing moves. We were just doing headlocks and literally putting headlocks on each other and trying to pull each other over, you know. So, but from that particular point, I was a Junkyard Dog. Now, how I got into wrestling was a totally different story. I always wanted to wrestle, but never knew how to get into wrestling. All right? Happened to be in South Jackson. It's on the other side of town. I went to see this young lady. The guy in her backyard on the opposite side of the street, you know, totally different street, had a ring in his backyard. So I used to see the guys when we used to go over there and we'd sit back and they bouncing in the ring or whatever the case may be. But I had just broken my leg. So I kind of crunched over there to ask them, you know, can I go jumping, you know, trying to rehab my leg. And I figured just jumping in the ring would kind of make it better, kind of strengthen the whole little thing over. And he agreed to it. His name is John Horton. He agreed to it. And so I ended up working out with him as he was training. So I just ended up being, I guess, the crash test dummy or something. But I was way more athletic than they were. I was able to do the things that he was teaching them to do with so much ease. And he asked me, he said, "Have you ever thought about being a wrestler?" I said, "Yeah, but, I mean, I never knew how to get into it." He said, "How about this?" He said, "How about I train you to be a wrestler?" So now I'm going to tell you how I end up paying for training, okay? So I end up training, taking down rings, putting rings up, training with him. And I had an advantage because I was in Jackson, and he would only train them on the weekend. So I was over there all the time. Well, still, money was funny, and you're trying to get into it. So he decided, Art Door brought Tough Man competitions. That's when they had the Tough Man competitions going on. And it was Art Door. He was bringing Tough Man around. So he went and entered me in the Tough Man competition. He was like, "Oh, yeah, I called an entry in Tough Man." I said, "For what?" He said, "Because, yeah, I think you can beat any of those guys." I was like, "What do they do?" He said, "Oh, it's boxing." I was like, oh, okay. I'm boxing in Chicago, no big deal. Go up to Greenville, Mississippi, and fight in my first Tuck Man competition. And fight, get to the finals, and get destroyed. All right? Come back putting bologna and stuff on my face because a dude just beat me to death. Well, when you win second place, you don't win the money. You win, I think, a jacket. You get a jacket that says second place and, I don't know, $200 or something like that. So the next one came to Jackson. Hey, rodeos. I said, you know what? Put me in that one. He's like, you sure you want to do it again? I said, yeah. So now we went to the second one. Now I win the second one. All right? So he ends up winning more money because he's in the outside in the crowd betting guys. Oh, I bet you he beats this guy. I bet you he beats this guy. How much you want to bet? And such, such, such. So I win that one. The next year they have one in Greenville again. So now I'm going back to Greenville because the dude that beat me sees that being afraid to fail. The dude that beat me the last time not going to beat me this time. So instead of catching him in the finals, I caught him in the second round. Knocked him the pook out. Easy. No problem. Because I'm going to learn. Right? Come back from that one, fighting one in Yazoo City the following year. Win that one. Come back from that one, fighting one in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Win that one. So finally they put me on the World Tough Man competition in Detroit, Michigan. And I just knew, and it was pay-per-view. This one guy that we used to work out with, getting ready for the fights, I said, I know, right before you get to the to where you're actually on television, I know they're going to end up putting us together because we've become too friendly. We eat together, we train together, we spar together, you know, just working out together. We always sit and talking. And he was from San Diego, California. And I knew they were going to do it. And just as sure as my name is what it is, right before the final fight, before you get on the pay-per-view, because they only did the semifinals and the finals on pay-per-view. Quarterfinals wasn't. They put it together, and I lost again. So in 4 years, 3 years, I was the toughest man in Mississippi for 3 years and lost in the quarterfinals, the World Tough Man competition, and that's how I paid for wrestling training.
I wasn't expecting to get into all this kind of stuff tonight because we're used to you doing your drive-bys, Jagged.
Well, like I told you, this is the only time you're going to get the real Jagged. You won't get it ever again. So anything you want to know, you better get it now.
Marco, you got any other questions for him? Marco may not be
willing. I
think
I put Marco to sleep.
Well, I want to get back to wrestling. What, aside from this Saturday at SFCW and, of course, Anarchy on the 24th of January, where can people find you in the next few weeks?
Well, this week is going to be double duty. After if Mr. Childs and AJ Steele and Logan Creed decide to accept the Jagged Edge's offer, just for this time, just till we get rid of this Florida team, to join Logan Creed and AJ Steele against the Cash on Delivery team or the Circle of Disrespect team coming out of Florida, then you'll catch me at Southern Fried Championship Wrestling. Sunday, I'm going up to Rome, Georgia, to rename Rome, Georgia, Jagged Edge, Georgia, when I get through beating Bobby Hayes in a bull rope match. The following week, we will be off probably, and then on the 17th, you'll catch me at PCW. Now, Mr. Childs mentioned that there was a PCW show going on the same night that Southern Fried is going on. But I tell you, you don't want to miss the PCW show. See, that's a hard one to do. I'm like Mr. Childs. If I wasn't at Southern Fried, I'd straight be at PCW, and I'd be at PCW as a fan, sitting there watching. You got the Revelation Shane Marks, and you got wrestling's most deadly weapon, Jeter, all 400 pounds of him, in a 60-minute Ironman match. Now I know what Shane Marks brings to the table. And I've seen and been on the receiving end of a lot of Jeter's punishment. So if you want to see some knock-em-dead action, I mean, you got two shows right there that you can go and see this weekend that I know that's going to be knock it out the park. You keep that matchup itself, Shane Marks, Jeter, Iron Man match, is going to be one that you're going to be talking about that's probably going to be right up there for match of the year of 2015.
Absolutely. So what's the show in Rome on Sunday? Which promotion is that?
That's going to be Deep Southern Championship Wrestling. We're going to be in Rome, Georgia, out at the skating rink out there in Rome, Georgia. Me and Bobby Hayes, bull rope match. I'm telling you, when we leave Rome, Georgia, it would not, at that particular point, it would no longer be known as Rome, Georgia. It would be known as Jagged Edge, Georgia.
All right. Are you going to be part of SFCW's show in Royston?
No, I won't be on that show in Royston. That's the 17th. Am I mistaken?
I believe that is what he said, yeah.
On the 17th, I will be at PCW.
All right. Well, Jagged, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate you being so candid, and I appreciate you being part of the show. Are you officially part of the show?
Very open with us, yeah.
What is Marco Polo talking about when the Jagged Edge is talking? Did they, Marco? Now I know. The next time I see you, somebody somewhere gonna put us in the ring together, because you're gonna have to learn that when Jagged Edge is talking, everybody else listens.
I'm looking forward to kicking that big old head. Yeah, I'm down with
that. Just remember that old Jagged keeps kicking back.
I like it. Let's go, man. Somebody book that match, Marco versus Jagged. I'm down with that.
Jonathan Williams, put it together.
Yeah. Put that
together. You do some kind of show, don't you? You do a show. You do Monsters on the Midway type show, don't you? Put Mark, do the Jagged Edge and Marco Polo on that show.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
I know some people. I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. You know a couple guys.
But seriously, I thank you guys. I thank you guys for having me, and I really appreciate that you made your next move, your best move, and you saved your very last guest for 2014 to be the Jagged Edge. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
We appreciate having you. And what are you doing for New Year's, Jagged?
Church.
Good place to be. Yeah.
What are you doing for New Year's, Jonathan Williams?
I don't know yet. I'm thinking of going to Six Flags because they have a holiday thing this year that I have not gotten to check out yet.
Well,
Jonathan
Williams, I'm just going to show up at your house, throw you over my shoulder, and I'm going to bring you to church with me.
Well, Six Flags closes at 8, so I could join you.
All right. Well, we'll keep that in mind.
All right. Thanks again, Jagged, and we'll see you this weekend and many other weekends to come.
You have a good one. Bye.
All right. You too, brother.
So we already mentioned Deep Southern Championship Wrestling, not only that show that he was talking about on Sunday in Rome, but also on New Year's Eve. You can go to dscw.org for more information about that. Also, New Year's Day, WWA4 is doing a super show with a bunch of its former trainees are coming back, UHA Nation, Moose, AR Fox, people of that caliber, who don't wrestle in Georgia a whole lot anymore, will be part of that. And their website's WWA4.com.
Yeah,
and, of course, UI Universal Independent Wrestling is running on the 3rd. And there's a show called Renegade Championship Wrestling that is in Chatsworth. And TNA's Gunner and James Storm will be part of this show. James Storm wrestles there regularly. I don't know a whole lot about it other than that. But that looks like an interesting show. Any others? Of course, you can go to gwhnewsandnotes.blogspot.com, click on upcoming events. But I think we've pretty much covered most of the major ones. Looks like Flatline Pro Wrestling is running in Grovetown on Saturday as well.
Oh, yeah. And AWF, I'm not sure if they're running, but they are. It'll be this weekend. That's Paul Lee's spot up in, I keep forgetting the name of that place.
Ringgold,
yeah. That's it.
Let me see if they have anything. January 3rd, you're right. Kevin Kaufman is defending the title against Lex Lee. Oh, that's right. Buff Bagwell is going to be there.
Awesome.
Wrestling Fly Guy for the number one contender to the heavyweight title. So thanks for reminding me of that. Yeah. All right. Well, once again, you can go to wrestlingwithpopculture.com to enter to win a Zenoscope calendar with pinup art. Of course, there are many other interviews and reviews and things of that nature on there. Mm-hmm. What are you doing for New Year's, Marco?
I don't know. I may spend it with some friends. May go to church. There's not set yet. Cameron Kay was talking about coming to town. We're going to hang out and do some stuff, but I don't know. It's still up in the air. So I may flip a coin. I may pull Cameron Kay to church. I may we may go out on the town. You know, we don't know.
All right. Well, of course, next Monday is not only the first Georgia Wrestling Now of the new year, but also the Georgia Wrestling History Award Show, where we announce the winners of all of the awards.
Yeah.
So we will
make
sure
you get
Larry
your
ballot
thing, guys. Last pick.
Which I guess means there still could be some write-ins based on whatever happens this weekend or this week before the 3rd, of course. There are a couple more shows. But I'm guessing Larry Goodman will join us, and we'll have as many of the winners on to accept their awards as possible. And we'll be announcing some other things about the future of Georgia Wrestling Now. So make sure you tune in, and everybody have a happy new year.
All right.
Thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for the latest information on upcoming events and more. As always, we thank you for your continued support.